Control number 5. Control over the rules. Rich Dad was very aware of the rules. He required his son and me to know that there were different rules for different people and different situations. When he drew his cash flow quadrant for Mike and me, much of his discussion between each quadrant was a discussion on the different rules that guided the different quadrants. For example, in the employee quadrant was the year 1943. In 1943, the Current Tax Payment Act was passed. This law basically made it possible for the government to get paid before any employee got paid. When people say, pay yourself first, that statement technically does not apply to anyone in the E quadrant, because in the E quadrant, the government always gets paid first. There is very little an accountant can do to help you with paying less in taxes. Up until 1986, the people in the S quadrant, the self-employed people, enjoyed many of the same tax loopholes that people in the B quadrant, big business, enjoyed. But after the 1986 Tax Reform Act, anyone who is a licensed professional, such as a doctor, lawyer, or engineer, as well as some employees, could no longer use the same loopholes the B quadrant and I quadrants continue to use. Banks, big businesses, and well-advised business people and investors gained, while many others lost tax advantages because of this law change. In 1933, Joseph Kennedy, head of the newly founded Securities and Exchange Commission and father of President John Kennedy, created a law that prohibited the poor and middle class from investing in the same paper asset investments of the rich. The act prohibits people who are not millionaires or people who earn less than $200,000 individually or $300,000 as a couple, which is less than 5% of the U.S. population, from investing in some of the best investments in the world. When you look at the game board of Cash Flow 101, you see two different tracks, the rat race and the fast track. The Cash Flow 101 game board reflects the 1933 SEC ruling. The smaller circular track is the rat race. That is where the poor and middle class invest. The larger track, the track known as the fast track, is where the rich invest. Not only is the game different on the different tracks, so are the rules. If you are to become the captain of your own ark, you need to be very aware of the different rules for the different quadrants. Now, that does not mean going back to school to become an accountant or attorney. It simply means you will need control over competent advisors, a subject covered in the next section. The reason you want to be aware of the different rules for the different quadrants is simply because, as skipper of your ship, you need to know the differences. Rich Dad had his son and me pay particular attention to the rules of the E quadrant. Once we understood the rules that govern workers, Mike and I knew which quadrants we wanted to be in. The following are a few simple examples of some of the differences and the reasons why, as captain of your ark, you too want to know the differences. 1. Saving money versus borrowing. Most people think that saving money is smart. Yet if you look at the tax laws governing each quadrant, you will see that saving money in the E quadrant is a losing proposition. For a person to save a dollar in the E quadrant requires that the worker earn nearly $2, since taxes take nearly 50% of workers' earnings. When looking at the taxes a person in the E quadrant pays on the interest from those savings and the loss of value to inflation, saving may be a good habit, but it is not financially smart. In the investor quadrant, I would rather borrow money than save money. In fact, the more money I borrow and the less of my own money I put into real estate investment, the higher my ROI, return on investment. In other words, the more I borrow, the harder my own money works and the higher my returns, if the investment is a good investment. Using an overly simplified example to make a point, if I purchase a $100,000 property and put 20% or $20,000 down and borrow $80,000 at 8% interest and net $200 a month income after all expenses, my return on investment, or ROI, is roughly 12%. If all things stay the same and I only put $10,000 down, or 10%, borrow 90% or $90,000 at 8% interest, my monthly net income drops to approximately $130 a month, but my return on my $10,000 investment jumps to approximately 15%. That 3% difference is more than the interest rate banks are paying savers today. If all things could be held equal and I could find a similar investment, I would be better off buying two properties, putting less down, and earning more money by borrowing more money. Again, this is an overly simplified example, but the point is, if the investment is a sound investment, the more I borrow, the higher my returns. That is why I would rather borrow than save, while most people think it is smart to save and get out of debt. The difference is a difference of quadrants, rules, a difference in basic financial education, and a difference of experience.